Good evening. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, and we are studying the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This week's chapter is more about alcoholism, and our speaker tonight is Zan D. Well, thank you, Zan.
All right. Thank you, Amy. And I want to thank Rachel for asking me to speak tonight. And it's great to see you all. Nowhere else I'd rather be than on an OA meeting. And I've read this chapter a few times. As some of you know, I've been around a little bit, actually since 1976. So, but this is one of my favorite chapters. And I reviewed it, of course, before coming. And I thought, you know, rather than just telling you my story from scratch, I would go through and talk about my favorite parts, and that will actually reveal a lot of my story. Bottom line, I could never diet for more than 2.5 weeks, 2.5 weeks. It was the longest I ever dieted before I got here. I'm a garden variety binger, 8 candy bars, half a pint of ice cream, pizza, and do that for 4 days, and then diet for 4 days, and then go on that crazy binging all over again. Immense self-hatred, and the weight just kept going up. Like I used to say, I'm not a yo-yo, I'm just a yo, because I would never go back down. I couldn't lose the weight. And so today, through the grace of a God who I sometimes understand on Tuesdays and then don't again on Wednesday, but that I love and I serve, I'm abstaining for 43 years back to back and maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. So what immediately struck me about this chapter is, how do I say it? It pulls no punches. And I just love that, because I needed to hear that. You know, Bill talks somewhere along the line about how Dr. Silkworth impressed upon him the fatal nature of the disease. And that was how it was with me. I've always taken this as life and death. So this first line here, it talks about it. You know, we persist in this illusion that we can be like other people to the gates of insanity or death. And that was it for me too. I came in here, I was studying classical ballet really hard, and ballet dancers are superior to normal human beings anyway. And the last thing I was gonna do was admit weakness over food or diet or anything, life. And I was pursuing that notion to the gates of insanity and death. And I also just love, you know, we have to concede to our innermost self. It's so hard. It took me 5 years to get back-to-back abstinence. Even though I knew from the second I walked in these doors that I was one of you, I still couldn't let go. It was very hard to concede to my innermost self. And again, I love the power of the language. So this delusion, it doesn't have to be erased or, you know, wiped out or excused from the table. It has to be smashed. And I love it too, because that was my experience. As I kept coming to OA and kept binging my guts out, my delusions were smashed. And then I'd pick them up again and binge my guts out and, you know, write suicide notes and get smashed. So I love that. Also love how black and white it is. No real alcoholic ever recovers control. That's another thing. I tell you, the thing that scared me the most, I think, when I got here, and I'm sure I heard it at my very first meeting, we eat. And again, everyone eats differently, especially now. But when I walked in, what I heard was 3 meals a day, nothing in between. And no. I've never even done a diet like that. I always had, you know, legal snacks. If anyone's, I'm going to name it. Has anyone been to Weight Watchers? At least back in the day, they had this category called legal, right? And they were the foods that you could eat unlimited quantities of. So, yeah. So the idea that I would, even though you guys told me one day at a time, would never recover control over this, and that I would have to eat 3 meals a day, nothing in between, for the rest of my life, I knew that was never going to happen. But again, I kept encountering pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. And that word, they're both beautiful, pitiful. It's pitiful. It's pitiful how you feel. You know, my fingers would get stiff when I'd wake up the next morning after a binge like that. You know, I'd have just terrible bathroom habits, and just intense self-hatred and incomprehensible. I cannot believe this is happening to me again. Completely demoralizing. Yeah. So let's see. And then again, they're kind of smashing home the idea over and over again. I have a little allergy, so if you'll excuse me. we are like men who have lost their legs. They'll never grow new ones. Same concept. I couldn't imagine. I used to think that it was just a phase. And that my overeating was just a phase. And once I got thin, for one thing, I'd be so happy I'd never want to overeat again. Or if I got the right boyfriend, that would keep me in line. Or if I got the right job, it was all that stuff. And then, of course, we all love, here are some of the methods we have tried. And the one I talk about a lot is it was something called pre-digested liquid protein. I Googled it recently, and you can still get like a liquid protein thing, but this was called pre-digested liquid protein. And I think it was about 30 years into OA before I asked myself, who pre-digested that stuff? You know, and I have no idea. That was just, of course, a marketing gimmick. But so I went on this, and by the way, I was already in OA at this time, which illustrates to me that I was in self-will run riot. I was actually trying to get into a ballet company. And, we still have this beautiful little pamphlet, small. And I think it's called For Today. And there's a line in there that says to me, my whole problem is trying to bend life to suit me. And I couldn't do that. And bend the food and bend the dieting, all of that. And the point is to bend myself to life, and higher power and program. So, I was trying to bend life with this pre-digested liquid protein, and I went on it. And that was when I did that record diet for 2.5 weeks. And so I lost some weight, but the ballet company was in Pittsburgh. And I stopped off in New York City for 4 days before getting there for a little, vacation. And I just binged my way through the streets of Gotham, right? And so I got to the ballet audition, and I did it. And then the artistic director took me into her office, and she said, I'm sorry, but we're not running a spa for fat dancers, right? And I usually get a lot of really lovely sympathy for that in the best way, because how do you heal from that? Whatever. I think it's just kind of, nobody would really say that today. They'd probably get sued and all that stuff. But of course, what did I do? Even with being in OA, I just walked out into a Pittsburgh blizzard. I remember it vividly, and binged some more, right? So that was one of the methods I tried. I mean, we could all go on, but especially too, like, this would have been very early, late 70s, kind of early 80s. And we had a lot of self-help books. It was the dawn of the self-help book. And like, you're okay, I'm okay, this and that. So I would do a lot of those things. They never helped me, et cetera, et cetera. Another thing I love about how powerful this pulling no punches, it actually suggests that if we can't get it, we go out and overeat. I kind of love that. It says, if we don't like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Step over to the nearest bar room or bakery and try some controlled eating. Try to eat bakery and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide if you're honest with yourself about it. It may be worth a bad case of the jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. So I love that. And then the honesty too, like, this whole thing about food plans and OA can just get so gnarly. And I kind of like to say, like, I'm going to use the you, excuse me, but like, you know what you can't eat, you know, or I know what I can't eat. I'll put it on me. I know I've had enough times around that ballroom dance floor with specific foods that by the time, you know, I hit bottom, I knew. And I think that's where it starts. And so I love that. In fact, I've always thought that, okay, that's 10. Thank you. Great. You know, the reason that we get up in a room and say, I'm Zan, I'm a compulsive overeater, that's pure honesty, you know. And I kind of picture the alcoholics, the early alcoholics. This may be stereotypic and untrue, but in their trench coats, right, with their cigarettes, and they were probably, a lot of them were stockbrokers or, you know, businessmen with reputations to uphold, And they had to walk into these rooms with a bunch of guys like them and say, you know, I'm screwed, I'm an alcoholic. And I think that was the first ego reduction and the first huge step in honesty, which to me is all about step one. So again, if we're planning to stop drinking, eating, there must be no reservation of any kind. And that also makes me think about the fact that I couldn't get abstinent right away by any means, 5 years. And, you know, what I love to tell people is that all you need is 51% willingness. You know, there's part of me that thinks, if I have any reservation whatsoever, I won't get this. And I guess that's really what this line says. But for me, for instance, I'll be specific. When I did get abstinent after 5 years, I started with a new sponsor, wonderful woman, and I was full of fear and reservations. And I remember I said to her, I said, I'm really scared. You know, I've had these false starts or these fresh starts for 5 years in OA. And she was one of these no-nonsense people. And she basically said, shut up, I don't care. You're a newcomer, sit in the front row. And I love that style. And guess what? She was right, you know, and I just want to cry because that was 43 years ago. And I was full of reservation and full of doubt. Wasn't sure about the program or God or step one or anything. But what I was full of was empirical evidence. I saw all these people around me who had stopped overeating, who had lost their weight, who were keeping it off, who were free men and women, freed from the bondage of food. So I just kept my eyes trained on them. I kept my eyes trained on them. And I made this little list as we were reading, because a lot of people my age, you know, kind of my cohorts, you would say in an academic term, who came in around the time that I did, thank you, God, I'm still in touch with a ton of them, like at least 20. And we all have over 30 years of abstinence. And in fact, I'm the baby among my closest friends. My friend Doreen, she won't mind me saying, turned 45 yesterday. And I forgot exactly why I brought that up, except to say that this big book was all that we had, you know, and we didn't have any of the OA literature. And it's okay, you know, it's okay. It works. And I keep very close to the big book. I love the big book. And I'm grateful to be on this meeting now. So the next line I underline, we shall describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking. Here's the line I love, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. meaning, and refers to another line in the book somewhere, that the problem starts in my mind, right? It talks about an allergy, right? But really, before I even take a bite, it's, you know, I take the first bite in my mind kind of thing. And that's kind of what it says here. It's my thinking. And then here's a really tall order is this next line I highlighted. And that is, they're talking about the guy, his family was reassembled. He began to work as a salesman. So he's getting sober for the business that he had lost. All went well for a time, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. I always feel less than when I read that line, right? Because I for a long time, I've had this spiritual inferiority complex in OA. And to be honest, I'm starting to get over it. And I think it has to do with true humility. And I don't know why, but that's a good warning that I like to read. Another line we used to use a lot, my friend Doreen, is we have a healthy fear of the food. And that means, you know, like through the grace of God, the desire to overeat has been lifted out of me. It's been plucked out of me. I've been placed in a position of neutrality. I abstain from my trigger foods, my alcoholic foods. But for about 42 years, I have been uninterested in overeating or those foods. But I have a healthy fear of the food, right? Again, I'm not afraid I'm going to go out and do it, but I respect it. I guess it's a respect. I have a very, you know, even though it's been, I have abstained, again, not my doing, far longer, probably what, 3 times longer than I actually overate. And it was a long time ago now. But I vividly remember what it was like. And maybe it's because I keep coming to meetings. I don't know. But I know what it was like. And I know what would happen if I go back, if I pick up. So, you know, I would say the way that I continue to enlarge my spiritual life is to keep coming back. I'm very, you know, I go to about 3 meetings a week still. I do service. I stick with the winners. I think that's a term that maybe has fallen out of favor, but I love it. I hang out with people who are kicking butt in the program and that I respect. So that's how I enlarge my spiritual life. I keep close. I try to be honest. I try to write. And to be honest, I'm going to take another drink here. I hope this doesn't sound boastful. In fact, it makes me emotional because I'm so grateful. I'm also graceful. I do a lot of dancing, but little joke there. This program is like the blood in my veins, and it comes naturally to me now. On Sunday morning, I had to do something really big girl and scary and hard in front of a bunch of people, and it got picked up by a major metropolitan newspaper with my photo and everything. And Sunday morning before going there, I turned it on its head. I did what I've been taught here. And that is that self-centeredness and selfishness is the root of my addiction and my problems. And so I pictured myself, I didn't picture, I just said, God, let me make this morning, this thing I have to do, about what I'm doing, not about Zan, you know, the principles of what we were communicating. Let me make it about that, you know, instead of me. Time's up. Okay, awesome. What a great time to end. Let me make
it. You have 2 minutes left.
Oh, 2 minutes left. Yeah, let me make it about not me. That's the answer right there. And, you know, I highlighted, you know, these things that we go through, these feelings, nervousness, anger, worry, depression, jealousy, and the like. Well, exactly. That's the antidote, is thinking about selfishness and the opposite of it. And in preparation for this Sunday thing, I could feel the nervousness coming on, and my head was starting to swell because I knew I'd be in front of a crowd. And so I had to call 2 newcomers, you know, and you know, that I didn't reach them, and they didn't call back, and it doesn't matter, right? And it's really a program that works for me. Self-knowledge doesn't work. Strange mental blank spots. I know, and I haven't kind of talked about step 1 by name, so I'm just going to finish on that. It is my favorite step, and the way that I view this gift of abstinence is that I'm as powerless today over food and my addiction and overeating as I was the moment I walked in the doors. And I take nothing for granted. And you know what? It's easy. It's easy being involved in this program. I love it. It's fun. It's interesting. I love the people here. And I have a happy, joyous, and free life today. So thank you all for listening again. And thank you for asking me to share.
Thank you, Jane. Wow. Thank you, Zan. We will now open the meeting for questions or for 3-minute shares. As this is a big book study, sharing and questions should relate specifically to the chapter and step being studied this week. We ask that you accept this guideline in order to keep the meeting on track. If you'd like to share or ask a question, please raise your virtual hand, which is under reactions, or *9 if you're on the phone. I will call the raised hands in order, and the Zoom host will ask you to unmute when it's your turn. Would the timekeeper please set a timer for 3 minutes for each share and announce when time is up? If the speaker is asked a question, please allow 3 minutes for the answer. No hands yet. All right, Amy L, followed by Joe.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amy in California, compulsive eater. I'm grateful to be here. And Zan, thank you so much. I don't expect you to remember me, but I certainly remember you. You spoke in Santa Barbara many, many years ago. And you were very briefly my sponsor, and you impressed the heck out of me back then. This is, I don't know, about 13 years ago. And I still feel very humbled to sit before you and hear you with 40 plus years of recovery. So thank you so much for being here. And I saw it was Zan, but I wasn't expecting this flashback to that time in my life. But you know, this chapter, there is a solution for me at that time. Part of my solution was at that time, exercise bulimia. I didn't know that's what it was. I didn't have the words for it at that time. And I remember a suggestion you made to me, which it's kind of embarrassing to say, but I'm so grateful that I'm so far away from where I was back then, was you suggested that I come to a meeting or just show up in life wearing baggy clothes, because at that time I was so in my ego about being fit, and it was, I clung to that, and I had shame about letting go of it. I mean, it was very hard for me to see, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And there's so many things in this program that I couldn't do. I couldn't stop compulsively eating on my own willpower. I couldn't stop exercising to death on my willpower. I couldn't stop in my youth. You know, I was anorexic. I couldn't stop that. And today, thank God, I have a solution that's not me. And so I also loved when you said, you know, I need to bend myself to life instead of expecting life to bend to fit me. And yes, yes. And I also loved what you said about Happening Sunday, that we learn to practice these principles, that it's not about small me. And so to show up, because I'm here for a purpose. And so my feelings and my nervousness and all that, I can let go of that because I'm here for a bigger purpose. And thank God for that. So thank you so much. Thank you everyone for being here, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Amy. Next we have Joe, followed by Lisa.
Hi, I'm Joe. I'm a compulsive overeater. Dan, thank you so much for your share. I have not thought about predigested liquid protein since the 70s myself, which I drank gallons of. The major impact of which was the complete inability to go to the bathroom for about, I don't know, even know, it was, had to be medically resolved. Not a good thing. And it tasted so nasty. And it's just one of the billion things I've done. And many of us have done. It's like every diet, you know, bariatric surgery, treatment more than once, OA many more times than once, you know, whatever, therapy. And I am abstinent today, and I'm tiptoeing up to 6 months, and I can honestly say this concept of food neutrality was not big when I first went into OA. Really, I don't remember hearing it. I always try to finesse the fact that I didn't hear it by thinking I probably wasn't listening, but I don't remember hearing that, and I don't think I was struck abstinent, but I do believe that I have all the time now food neutrality, like, and I love the way you said, but I still have a healthy fear of food, and that is exactly what I feel is my situation right now. And I also don't feel at this advanced age and in this complete level of abject gratitude for what I've been given, the need to explain that to anybody who doesn't already know it. And that's why I love going to meetings. I go to a meeting a day, I keep a meeting journal, and I write things I hear in meetings. And then I kind of figure out the meetings I like. And it's like a little map for me. But I got so hung up in OA earlier about wanting to try to explain it to people so they'd understand, because otherwise I'd be weird. And now it's like, I am weird. I love being in a room full of weird people that I can talk to about stuff. I was able to go to a meeting last night and talk about the fact that I'd been to a doctor, and for the x-rays I needed, they want me to put on these pair of paper pants. And I'm like, there's no way paper pants are going to fit me. And they fit me. And then I needed to take a selfie of myself and sit paper pants. And there's not a whole lot of people in the world I could explain that to without them going, okay, there's something wrong with you. Well, there is something wrong with me. And I get to be around other people who've had the same experiences. So I don't know what that rambling conversation was in aid of, but I'm so happy for meetings, and I'm so grateful
Time.
For I've been given in this program. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Joe. Next, we have Lisa.
There I am. Hey, Lisa, compulsive overeater, 100 pounder multiple times because I kept leaving OA. And it was the only place I ever got happy, joyous, and free. So now I abstain from leaving. Zan, thank you. You were one of the first speakers I heard on Zoom. And I'm like, man, if this is Zoom, this is great. So thank you. It was great to hear you again. And it was so funny when I do my, I don't go through everything that I've done, because you guys would be here for a long time, everything I've done to try to control my weight and body. But I do say liquid protein, and I forgot it was pre-digested. And it was in the 70s, and I was in middle school. I can't, at that, no, middle school or early high school. So first diet was age 8, but I was dieting before that. I just didn't know. So, oh my gosh, you guys know I have CRS. Can't remember stuff. No freaking idea what I was going to say. Oh my gosh, are we still being recorded? I don't know, man. Zan, I'll put my hand up if I remember again. I'm so sorry. It'll come to me. I'll let you know. Bye.
We have no other hands up right now. If Lisa's finished, anyone want to be brave? Anyone want to ask a question? Kathy.
Yeah, hi, I'm Kathy. I'm a compulsive eater and a sugar addict. Zan, thank you so much for your message. I really appreciated it. And my question is, you said, I believe you said that it took about 5 years for you to finally concede to your innermost self. You had this illness. And I just wonder what those 5 years looked like for you. Were you coming to meetings, leaving meetings? What were you doing during those 5 years?
Yes, thank you, Kathy. Doing everything, all the footwork, all the sponsors, all the writing, all the meetings, all the binging.
Wow.
No, I just couldn't do it. Wasn't for lack of trying. And then I did have some periods of abstinence, including a whole year I was abstinent, and broke it and thought I'd get it right back since I'd had all that time, and it took me a year and a half. I kind of like to say there is no wrong way to do this program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I see Lisa's hand is back up. So, Lisa, if you want to hop back in.
Thank you. Okay, so there's this meeting I go to, and this woman uses the word embodiment all the time. And embodiment. We are the embodiment. I'm like, I don't know. So I looked it up, and Zan, you're the embodiment of recovery. And feel free to look that up, man. I didn't know what that meant. I had to look it up. I'm like, why is this woman saying this repeatedly? And then the fear of the food. So I was like, why do people say, I heard like fear of God? I'm like, what does that mean? And so respect, a healthy respect. And also I don't want to say submission, but that it could be more powerful than us. My higher power is either my disease or my higher power is one or the other. And then I know a woman that says, obsess about your gratitudes. I love that one. And I really think that's what I heard from you. Obsession, you obsess about your gratitude. So those are the things I wanted to say to you. Thanks, Dan. I'm going to go off camera, and I apologize to the group for my CRS. Thanks.
All right. It is 8:46, which is 1 minute before 8:47. So we will now stop the recording for unrecorded questions or shares. Would the Zoom host please stop the recording?